welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, as you guys are seated this morning, I want to encourage you to go ahead and grab your Bible and get that out. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, go ahead and open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your living word today. Lord, soften our hearts. Give us the courage and the strength and the leading of your Holy Spirit to respond in a way that says yes and moves our life in alignment with that declaration. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are going to be wrapping up our series called The Other Guy. So those of you guys have been walking through this whole series with me, you kind of know where we're at. But our anchor verse has been Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, and it gives kind of a simple statement of dilemma that we all kind of find ourselves in at time to time. And it says this, it says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs or assesses the heart. And our human dilemma at times is making sure that the motivations of our heart are lined up with the activity of our life in a way that honors God and moves us forward into his plans and purposes. And we can kind of fumble through that for a variety of different reasons. But our struggle is oftentimes aligning the intentions of our heart with the actions of our lifestyle. And just to kind of illustrate that, all three of my kids are guilty of this, but there's been, in all three of them, this tendency to give them directions, particularly in the bathtub, that are only followed through about halfway. And most of the time, there's an intention to follow through, but then there's something that happens that derails it. And in particular, it has to do with washing their hair. Time and time again, as they've gotten out, as they've kind of been growing up, I'll be helping dry them off, or I'll be helping comb their hair, or something along those lines. And I'll say, hey, did you wash your hair? And the answer is yes, because the shampoo got in. But it's still in. They didn't finish it. They didn't rinse it out. Parents, have you been in that place where you started like combing your kid and it's just like slick, or you didn't get to it in time and it's just crusty when they wake up in the morning? You're like, I just gave you a bath. No, yeah, I washed it, but I didn't rinse it. Yeah, there's a whole process that goes with that. And all three of my kids have been in that place where oftentimes they've got halfway through, but they didn't follow all the way through. And most common reason for that is this: I forgot, right? I got it in, and then I got distracted with this toy, or I heard the popcorn machine on. It, like, something happened. I got it in, and then I forgot to get it out. I just kind of moved on with the rest of what I was doing. But the point that is illustrated there is that there was an intention to wash my hair. I got the soap in. I just didn't get it all the way out. And it's like, that's great, except for you're just as dirty now as you were when you began. You've got to take another bath. And so the what's illustrated there really in more of just kind of a humorous, accessible way is our tendency at times to understand what it looks like to have our motivation not actually followed through wholly on. And we're going to look at a very simple parable that Jesus gives, and we're going to consider ourselves through the lens of those in it, and really consider the motivation of your heart and the activity of your life. Okay, one, are those things aligned? And two, are they aligned with the plans and purposes that God has for us? And what are the reasons why sometimes we miss that? And so we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 21. If you got your Bible, go ahead and open up to verse 28. We're going to read the whole parable. It's very short, very simple, very accessible, and very applicable. And it starts in verse 28, and Jesus says, "What do you think?" Or consider this. There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. How is that as a good start for a parable? Parents, you guys have been here, right? "Hey, son, I've got yard work for you today." "I'm not interested in that." That's the exchange here. We've all been in that place. We've either been the son or the daughter, or we've been the parent giving direction. We understand how this works. And so the son says, "I will not." But look at this, but later, he changed his mind and went. And so it's like, okay, you know, you gave me some attitude, but you followed through. And Jesus continues the story and moves on, and he says, "Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered," look at this, "I will, sir." Oh, parents, we wish, don't we? I will, sir? Oh, so respectful, right? I will, sir, but check it out. But then he did not go. And then Jesus asks a question, and it doesn't have, he doesn't ask about their attitudes. He doesn't ask about whether they were honoring to their father. He doesn't ask about some of those things that are important as well. But he asks a very practical question. And it has to do with fruit. And we'll see this at the end. Which of the two did what his father wanted? Which of the two did what they were asked? Not which of the two had a good attitude about it. Not which of the two, you know, started strong. Not which one is the preferred. Which one, in a very practical sense, who did what they were asked to do? And the answer there is the first. And so it's a pretty simple, it's a very simplistic parable and very accessible, and we've all maybe been here. And Jesus leaves kind of some tension in the story. Because the way that I would have told this story, I'm wondering where the third son was, right? Hey, where's number three? Where's the one that says, I will, sir, and then follows through, right? That would be like the perfect son. That would be the quintessential one. But Jesus leaves it with kind of these two, you know, who's the winner and loser here? And leaves us to wrestle it out. And if you're thinking about attitude, if you're thinking about the exchange, if you're thinking about some of those, then you would lean one way. If you're thinking about follow through, you would think about the other. And so you might get caught in between those things, but listen to me, the parable is about fruitfulness. See, on the back of this one, Jesus speaks of another parable. So there's two parables. You can read the rest in Matthew 21, but there's a second one that has to do with tenants and a vineyard and fruitfulness as well. And then as he wraps up those two parables back to back, he gets to this verse that highlights really the purpose or the point. And it's in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, as Jesus is speaking to a group of religious people who could talk the talk. They were all saying yes to the Father in one way, but they weren't following through on really the things that matter. He brings this perspective and tells these parables and then highlights this principle of fruitfulness in verse 43. He says, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who, look at this, will produce fruit. This is like an uh-oh verse, right? This is like if you were sitting there and Jesus said, hey, surprise, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given to somebody else who's going to we're in trouble, right? This is one of those alarmist type of verses. It should draw our attention. But what it does do for us, even in causing the alarm, is it focuses our attention on Jesus' intention towards fruitfulness in these parables. This is about fruit. And if you look at the sons, the practicality of fruitfulness becomes even more evident because the issue is not necessarily the sons and not necessarily their response. Although those things are very, very important. But where were they being sent? Sons, go work in the vineyard. Go work in the vineyard. And then the question of who did what the father asked. Well, when I ask my son to do something, part of what I'm asking is for him to respond in the right way. But the practicalness of fruitfulness highlights the activity of the son who responded with the wrong heart but did actually follow through. Because how many of you know that you have to tend a garden for it to be fruitful? Have you learned the hard way that if you don't turn on the water, then everything dies? Right? That if you don't tend to it or if you do it inconsistently, that it is less fruitful. So if I miss a watering day, I may not kill everything, but I may not get as much of an abundant, fruitful harvest as I would have if I would have paid a little bit more attention to it. The issue has to do with fruitfulness. And at the heart of this is the very practical sense that for you and I to enjoy the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God in our lives, it requires us to actually follow through. It requires us to actually follow through. And so I want to think about two questions this morning, and we're going to put ourselves into the seat of both of these brothers and to consider maybe where the Lord would cause us to respond in a way where we begin to follow through. So here's the first question. Let's go to the son, the first son, right? I will not. I'm not doing that, Pops. I don't want anything to do with that. I got other things to do. But then he turned and followed through. Here's a question for you and I. What is God speaking to you? Where is he directing you? Through his word? Through your time in prayer? Maybe as you worship and he stirs your heart? Maybe through the counsel of a Christian brother and sister? Maybe through an alignment of kind of a desire on your heart that's lined up with the plans and purposes that he has for us? Where is he directing you where you're saying no? I don't want to do that. I love Rich's story because he said yes to the will of God for his life. He didn't say yes 3 years ago to pastoring a church in Akron. In fact, if that would have been on the table, it might have ended up being a no. But he said yes to that first step, and then he began to take next step, next step, next step. Where has the Lord spoken in your life, directed through his word? Where is he causing you to know that there is a point of decision, and right now you're saying, no, I don't want to do that? Where is he calling you to reconciliation in a broken relationship? Where is he calling you to allow him to deal with an issue of brokenness that whenever it seems to get touched, it hurts? Like, where are those places where you're saying no? And then the follow-up question to that is, will you do what this son did, and is, will you change your mind? See, because as you read this parable, the one who did what he was asked, he said no at first. He didn't get it right. His heart was wrong. He was out of alignment with the will of the Father. But there's a very, very important statement that is made of him, and it says, but then he changed his mind. He changed his mind. And one of the things that is important for you and I to recognize is we can start with the wrong heart, but we can repent. We can be in a place of rebellion. We can be in a place of resistance to the things of God in our lives. We can be in a place where we're disinterested or where we know it's going to cost us and we're not willing to pay the cost in that moment. But we can allow the Lord to do a work in us that turns our heart. And we can turn our heart and then align our response to that in a way that actually follows through and produces fruitfulness in our lives. The son who went to the vineyard and tended to what was asked is going to see fruitfulness as a response to that. The son that did not, whatever he was supposed to set his hand to, is going to have less fruit as a result because he chose to not do it. And so the question for you and I is that, where are you saying no, and will you say yes instead this morning? Where are you saying no, and where will you allow yourself to say yes? Because what happens in this son is he changes his mind, his heart turns towards the will of his Father, and then he follows through on that. And that word repentance in Scripture, it's not primarily, do you feel bad about yourself for falling short, or are you super duper sorry, or do you feel less valuable as a result, or will you acknowledge your brokenness? Those things are oftentimes residual experiences. Primarily, repentance is a change of your heart, mind, soul, and strength back towards the Lord. It's a turning of your heart. And what you see in the son who said no, and where at the very beginning, if the father had come and said, hey, will you do this? And he says no, you're like, that guy's the loser in that story. But his heart turned, and then his feet followed. And by the end, he's the one who did what was asked. The second question for you and I to think about this morning is, what has God directed you to do? Where has he invited you to respond? Where has he began to work his plan and purpose in your life where you have said yes, but then not followed through? Where are the places where in your heart of hearts you said yes to the direction of the Lord? In all honesty, the honest reaction, response, in true honor and zealousness, you've said yes to the things of God in your life, but haven't followed through. Where are those areas? Because those are really important as well. Because the one son responds in an honoring way. The one son responds in an affirming way. He's quick to, yes, Dad, I will totally do that. But then he doesn't follow through. It says that he did not go. And it doesn't tell us why. It doesn't say that he was rebellious. It doesn't say that he was lying to his dad to begin with, that he was disingenuous. It doesn't say that he got distracted or forgot or something else came up. It doesn't give us any of that, because what is being focused on here is just the practicality of following through in obedience to the Lord. He says yes, but he did not follow through. And wherever his role was in the vineyard, whatever he was supposed to do, whatever grapes that he was supposed to tend or whatever soil he was supposed to till, whatever his activity would have been, all I know is this: he did not do that. And the vineyard will be less fruitful as a result. That's why it's important to recognize that this is an issue of fruitfulness. And for you and I, there are places in our lives where God is saying, hey, I've got this step for you to take, and we're saying no. And it may not impact your salvation at all. If you've said yes to salvation, right? But it will impact your fruitfulness. And there are places in our lives where the Lord has asked us to respond, and we've said, yeah, oh, I'm totally on that. And we just don't follow through. And the thing is, saying no and saying yes and not following through creates the same amount of unfruitfulness in your life. In a practical sense, your heart may be right. Your heart is turned maybe towards the Lord in a sense of saying yes to the things. But if you don't let your feet follow your heart into walking into that fruitfulness, you'll be just as unfruitful as if you were rebellious and said no. And in both sons, what needs to occur is repentance. There needs to be a change of heart. And in that change, it's not just a heart posture, but part of the change is that the feet follow the heart into the fruitful things of God. And so for you and I, these both might be simultaneously expressed in our life right now. There may be a coworker that the Lord is calling you to reconcile with, and that jerk has been just out for you for the whole time you've been there. And he's calling you to be a reconciler, calling you to be a peacemaker, and you may flat out look at the Lord and say, I am not doing that. And you know what? You won't. And you actually can't unless your heart turns. And there's a lot of heart stuff that has to change there, not just you saying, okay, yes, I'll try this. Like, there's some woundedness and some healing that's going to have to, like, it's a journey. There's a yes, and then a yes, and then a yes, and a yes as the Lord moves you maybe onto that journey towards that. And it may be a year or two down the road before that ever takes place. But there has to be some type of change in your heart. And you may be in a place right now where maybe it comes to something like your spiritual disciplines. And you know that the Lord is saying, you know what, I want you to draw nearer to me. I want to speak with you about who you are and who I've created you to be. I want you to spend more time with me in prayer. And you're like, oh yeah, totally, God, I totally want to hear what you have to say. But you haven't adjusted your schedule or made any time for that. And so each day or each week, it's like, well, I'm going to get to that. But guess what? You're missing fruitfulness that comes from responding with a yes that is followed through with your feet into the action. Disobedience or inconsistency both forfeit fruitfulness. You know, we've got a garden at our house, and there are parts of that garden that have been fruitful, and there are parts that aren't. And I can tell you that part of it is because we started all of our seeds inside, but we were about a month late getting them outside as far as, like, gardening gurus say when they're supposed to be out. We were way late to the party. We started on time. We had the intention, but we didn't transplant at the right time and season. And you know what? There are things in our garden that are not fruitful as a result of that. We've got like 5 cantaloupe, and they're like this big, and they look like little shriveled heads that you would see like in a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Like, it's not fruitful. I mean, they're small enough to throw at your kids. I would never do that. But they're not fruitful. Our carrots are doing great because we got them in at a good time, and we've paid more attention to those. And that's just the simple understanding. Like, you guys can all understand fruitfulness as a result of that. If you put your hand to it, if you attend to it, and if you follow through, you have a greater chance at fruitfulness. And if you neglect it, if you're inconsistent, if you're just kind of in and out on it, you might or might not. And those natural principles translate into the principles of spirituality. When we say no and just follow through on that no, it's the same as saying yes and not following through on the yes when it comes to the issue of fruitfulness. Now, the attitude of your heart is different in both of those scenarios, but the outcome of fruitfulness is forfeit in both. And so I want to ask you a question just really quick, just for you to consider. just on the side, what would be your next yes? What would be your next yes that would encourage fruitfulness in your life? Okay, for some of you, that next yes would be taking a no and making it a yes. It would be the change of heart, that I'm going to change my heart, I'm going to repent, and then I'll begin to take steps to align the steps of my life with the direction of my heart. Some of us need that type of a heart change. Some of us have said yes, and our next yes is now to actually follow through on it. It's to take a step of faith that moves us into that direction that leads to fruitfulness. What steps can you take this week? What steps can you take in a response that is a yes that begins to align your life with your heart for Jesus? Because here's what I know about each one of you. And you may, this may be a new thing for you, it may be surprising, it may be just developing, but here's the deal. You have already said yes in your heart to some degree to who the Lord is calling you to be in Him. And the reason why I know that is because it is demonstrated in your presence here today. Now, you may be here because, man, I've got to get to church because I connect deeply with the Lord. And you may be here because, you know what, I've tried everything else and I'm just going to try this today and see if something happens. You may be here because your mom or your dad or your friend or somebody like kind of forced you to or said they'd buy you lunch afterwards if you came. Like there could be a variety of ways that you got here. But here's what I do know, that there's something in you deep down in the way that God's created you that is desiring to connect with Him. And being in this context and listening to the word of the Lord, there's something that has already postured your heart, maybe in the most basic way, to say yes towards Him. Now, what could be your next step today that moves you into aligning the direction of your heart? That might be receiving salvation. That might be, hey, I came to church today. I didn't really know a lot about this thing, or I'm just kind of feeling it out, but I feel the Lord drawing me to say yes to being in right relationship with Him. For some of us, it might be turning a no to a yes. For some of us, it might be a yes that needs to be followed through on. And worship team, if you would come back forward this morning, church family, I want to invite you to stand. We're going to spend a little bit of time just allowing the Lord to search our hearts. And I know that in my relationship with the Lord, I've been both of these sons at different times. Sometimes both of these sons simultaneously. There's been times in my life where the Lord has given direction or spoken to my heart, and I've said, I don't want to do that. And sometimes it was out of pride or insecurity. Sometimes it was out of fear or apathy or disinterest. Sometimes it's because I knew that that little yes might be followed by another yes, and I wasn't sure I wanted to go where that might lead me. But I've been that kid for sure. And in my years of following the Lord, there has been plenty of times where with the best of intentions in my heart, I've said, yes, Jesus, I am sold out for You, and have not followed through in one area or another. And that shouldn't be any great surprise to you, because it's probably your experience as well, that you've been each one of those. And I know that there are times in my life, and I would presume in yours as well, that you said yes and you followed through, that you were the third son that's not in the story, and that we got it right. And it was this easy road into fruitfulness. For most of us, there's some repentance that needs to take place from time to time to keep us going in the right direction. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. And this is just to kind of close out the distractions around us. And I want you to do something. I want you to exercise your imagination with me for a moment. Sometimes we undervalue that gift from the Lord, or we make it something that is typically used in an unhealthy way, and so we shy away from it. The Lord has given us imagination, and that can be used in a very holy way. But I want you to use your imagination for just a moment, and I want you to imagine what your life would look like this week, just this week, if you said yes with your heart today and directed your feet to follow. If you said yes and actually followed through in a step of faith that aligned with that. Imagine your conversation. Again, with your eyes closed, just think about this. How would your conversations with your parents or your kids, how would that change if you said yes and followed through? What would your attitude at work be like? Or what would your exchange with your coworkers be like? How would your priorities be maybe assessed and readdressed this week? If you said yes to the things that God is asking you to respond to and then followed your feet through, leading where your now changed heart would take you. Now, in the space of just kind of maybe identifying some of those things, I know that oftentimes there is this thought of, I tried that already. When I think about those places where I said yes and I didn't follow through, or when I think about those places where I said no and I'm not sure that I'm ready, even as I say today, you know what, Lord, turn my heart and I want to say yes and follow through to those things, I would already be reminded of the places that I had failed. The places where I said yes before and I didn't follow through, or the places where I said no and I'm still reluctant to trust. And I don't want you to feel like in those areas that the answer now is that you just work harder or that you just have more resolve. For those places where you have experienced a lack of fruitfulness, the answer isn't for you to work harder. You do need to do the things that God has asked you to do. You do need to take your steps. But Scripture tells us that it's the Lord that produces the fruitfulness. Abiding in the vine produces the fruitfulness. And I just want to remind you of the wrestling that Paul had. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, and he says this, he says, the moment that I decide to do good, the moment I say yes to the things of God in my life, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. There is no one who can do anything for me. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all of my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. He set things right in this life, in Jesus. Lord, for those areas in our lives where we've said no, but we would turn our hearts to you to say yes today. Lord, would you do your work in us through Christ, who breaks through those contradictions and allows us to follow through. Lord, for those places in us where we've said yes with the earnestness of our heart, but we haven't followed through. For those places where we've kind of fumbled and stumbled, Lord, Jesus, would you come in and bring freedom in that place? You are the answer. You are the answer. Jesus, I think that you left the third son out, because if we saw that example, we would believe that we could do that without you. And for us to be a son who says yes to the Father and follows through, it's going to require your work in us. And so, Jesus, we say yes to you today. We say yes to your direction. In our hearts and our minds, we turn them towards you, and we ask that you would strengthen us by your Spirit and by your word to follow through with our feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got a few action steps for you to think about this week. I'm going to be up here. You can snap a picture of them. You can catch these online later on this week if you'd like. But number one, spend some time in prayer this week. Intentionally set some time aside to pray. And in that time, pray that the Lord would give you a soft heart to hear his direction, right? And he's gonna say, hey, will you say yes to this? Will you say yes to this? And then as you do that, say your next yes. And then take an obedient, practical step that moves your feet to follow your heart after the Lord.